Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. I said, praise the Lord, Bridgeway. Now, one more time for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. It is so good to see you here in the house of the Lord in Columbia, Maryland, as well as in Owings Mills, Reisterstown, Maryland. Wherever you are on the internet, in your kitchen, in your car, wherever you are, it's just good to have you in the house of the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? You want to put your hands together and just thank God. I have so much stuff in my spirit and so many things I want to share with you. I've already made the decision that I'm not going to get through my entire message today. So I'll just tell you that right now. We're starting a brand new series called Bold. And today we're going to talk about courage. Next week we'll talk about strength. The following week, we'll talk about hope. And then Kevin Turpin in Columbia and Juan Delgado in Owings Mills will talk about faith on Palm Sunday. And then we'll have Easter. The Sunday after Easter, I'm going to start a brand new 3-week series called Debt Free. And that sermon, that service, is going to be a celebration service. Because as of 12:19 p.m. on Friday, February 23rd, 2024, Bridgeway completely paid off its mortgage in Columbia, Maryland. Debt free. 30-year mortgage, paid off in 15 years, $6.5 million, done, check written by our CPA, Tim Samuel. You ought to give God a hand because we have a church that we can lead for the next generation, not saddled by debt, not saddled by worries, no, completely debt-free. And on that Sunday when I preach, we are releasing that same expectation over your household. Because if God can do it in his house, he says, if you take care of my, I feel like preaching. He says, if you take care of my house, I'll take care of your house. And so when you come to the house of the Lord and you bring him praise and glory and discipline and confession, God will release through this ministry what is free for us will be free for you. You're gonna have to believe it. You're gonna have to receive it. But I tell you that God has something special for each and every person under the covering of this ministry. And even though that's not the sermon today, I could not wait to give you the news. I had to wait for the guest speaker series to be over because I wanted us to be able to celebrate it as a family. And so thank you for applauding. Thank you for giving. And I have so much in my spirit. This doesn't fit with the message either. I don't know how this is going to work on the internet, but ever since I came in to worship, and thank you, Miss Christie, for singing that beautiful song about surrender. So I'm going to surrender to the Spirit of God right now. And I'm going to ask you, and it's going to seem kind of weird right now, but if you have cash, I'm going to ask you to bring it to the stage. I want to see a pile of cash right here as an offering. Now, I know a lot of people don't carry cash, so there's only those of you that have some, but I want to have an offering right here. If you have time to do that, you feel called to do it. If it ain't you, don't worry about it. Don't feel bad about it. It's not about guilt. Offerings are gone in the Old Testament. This is just about what the Spirit is doing right now. So if you happen to have some cash, would you just really quickly, I don't know if we have any music. They weren't planning on this. How y'all doing at Owings Mills? Guess what? Y'all can do it there too. Just bring cash to the front and put it right on the stage. If you have it, you may have a dollar, you may have two, you may have 100, whatever you have. Just bring it as an offering to the Lord. And cameras, I want you to just show the people who are bringing this offering to the Lord. This is an offering to God. This ain't to pay the church off. The church already paid off. Come on, somebody. This is a response to God. This is saying, God, thank you for what you've blessed me with. Thank you that I have cash in my pocket because I usually don't carry it, but today I happen to have it. I didn't know why I was bringing it to church. Now I know. Give, keep enough in your pocket so you can go to McDonald's after the service. But whatever you want to give, it doesn't matter. I just want to see a pile. And it has nothing to do with today's sermon, which is on courage. But I do want to say that as this is happening, as people from all over the congregation are putting in cash in front of us, I do want to thank our guest speakers, Chris Williamson, Noemi Chavez, Shane Claiborne, and Daryl Strawberry. You can put your hands together for them as well. And even as I'm preaching, I'm gonna start preaching now. I don't care if you're moving while I'm preaching. I'm just gonna start preaching right now because, you know, back at the turn of the year, I was doing a quiet time and I shared with you from Joshua chapter 1. First of all, how many of y'all have cash? My gosh, y'all carry cash? Y'all better be careful walking in the parking lot. Lord have mercy. I didn't realize people carried this much cash. Thank you, God. How's the pile looking? Look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. I just want y'all to see the money. I want you to see the money. And I'll tell you what God's put in my spirit in a little bit. Just see the money. Okay, so in Joshua chapter 1, he said, be strong and courageous. He said, be strong and very courageous. And then he said, be strong and courageous again. Three times he said this in the book of Joshua. And as he was saying this in verse 6 and in verse 7 and in verse 9, after I was done that quiet time, of course, I got a call within 30 minutes to say, Lord, the opportunity for you to go to Israel and the Gaza border is before you and you're being invited to go. And I knew that message of being strong and courageous was exactly what God was telling me to do. So I said, yes, we went over there and I reported back to you. Thank God he brought us safely. But the inspiration of this whole four-week series called Bold started because of that passage in Joshua, and it has grown a fire inside of me since then. So today I do want to talk about courage. And I just want to say that even in the first message of the year, I said that we're going to face some new challenges. And for those who would step up and look up and be strong and courageous, that there would be these five declarations that I would speak, that God is speaking over the congregation. Some of you will remember, I said and I declared that you will see more in 2024. We talked about high definition discernment. You're gonna be able to see in a way, spiritually, you weren't able to see before. I said, secondly, you will face higher level CEOs. CEOs meaning challenges, enemies and obstacles that you haven't faced before because you're at a new level in a new dimension. Thirdly, I said you will feel supernatural strength and courage that you've never felt before, which I think is where this message is coming from. Fourthly, I said you will see the glory of the Lord in your success. I believe that God got us to this point even with being debt free because he is getting the glory. No pastor gets the glory. No church member gets the glory. No partner, no giver. No, we're all a part of God's story, but he gets the glory. And so I'm so glad that we get to now see higher levels of success and God gets the glory. And then the fifth and final declaration I spoke on the first Sunday of the year, and that is you will develop a new wherever I go faith mentality, that wherever you walk, you will succeed as long as you're walking on the path that God has for you. Having said all this, what courage will you need? What courage do you need right now? I believe that God will be building courage inside of some of you even as I preach. And no one sitting near you has any idea of what you're facing. But you know, and God knows what you're dealing with. And I want you to know today that God sees you and God hears your cry. God is calling courage out of your spirit right now. He's calling courage to be awakened in you right now. Someone said that courage is grace under pressure. And when someone says, be courageous, you might wonder, well, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. How do I do it? How do I get courage to awaken in my spirit? Do I simply make a choice to be courageous? Do I go online and apply for courage? Will it be sent to me through an Amazon box? Do I purchase it from somewhere? Do I order it? Is it a pill? Is it a burger? Is it a liquid? Some even call alcohol what? Liquid courage. Not surprised you know the answer, actually. I used to be, but I ain't surprised no more. But that's what they call it, liquid courage. Or do you remember that show, that cartoon, Popeye, the Sailor Man? Anybody remember that one? All the old people, just raise your hand right there. No, young people, Popeye's is not chicken. This is not a show about chicken. The character in the story didn't eat chicken. On the contrary, what did he eat? He ate spinach. When he needed extra strength, he ate spinach. He says, I can't stand no more. And he gets this spinach, and then this spinach, all I can stand because I can't stand no more, would then take this skinny man, Popeye the Sailor Man, and he grows strong muscles. Young people, this is way before Dora the Explorer and Blue's Clues. This was before Paw Patrol and Peppa Pig. This was before Bluey and Barney. These were the days of Aquaman and Road Runner and Speed Racer and Wonder Woman and the Flintstones. Yabba dabba doo, baby. But when Popeye ate spinach, he got stronger. And we'll talk about strength next week. But courage is not strength. Physical strength like Popeye is not what we're talking about. We're actually talking about, however, an attitude. It's the attitude that comes with the newfound strength that we're talking about. So when he gets the strength, then he gets the courage. But there's an attitude of courage that comes with strength. You see, courage is a mindset. It's an attitude. It's a decision to stand up against the bully. It's a sense of grit that will make you face your fears even though you're afraid. And you may not have gained an ounce of strength, but you know that you can still feel courage without it. You don't have to eat spinach or take a pill or drink a liquid. You have made up in your mind that you are going to do what courage requires you to do. And you have this courage, but not because of any outside source like a pill or a vegetable. But to have this courage, this attitude of courage, you can even have it when you're weak. Because you realize that your strength is in the Lord. And your courage comes because you have a fire in your belly that's causing you to stand up, to show up, to speak up. Courage is truly grace under pressure. But the opposite is true too, cowardice. The opposite of courage is cowardice. And cowardice is letting fear win. Cowardice makes you shrink back and not do or say or resist like you should. Just like courage is a mindset, so is cowardice. Cowardice means that you have been, listen, discouraged, decouraged. Cowardice is when you are lacking courage. You should get that small book that rewrote a couple of years ago called Be Encouraged. And it's a small book based on a sermon series I did. You can go to andersonspeaks.com. It's like less than 100 pages. But it's speaking encouragement into your life. Because when you see the word encouragement, what is the word that's stuck right in the middle of that big word? Courage. Come by this morning to encourage somebody, to instill courage in somebody this morning. And that's exactly what you need. Is there anybody that needs encouragement this morning? Is there anybody that needs someone and something from the Word of God to instill courage into their spirit? You know, if you're going to be a bold believer, then you must be courageous when called upon to do so. And courage is not about having more muscles or more strength or more power or more money or more advantage. No, it's about having more heart, more attitude. You know, you also have that show, The Wizard of Oz. Anybody remember The Wizard of Oz? Where they're all going to see the wizard, and you had these different characters like Dorothy and the Tin Man and Scarecrow, but you also had a lion there. And while on the outside he looked like a lion, on the inside he didn't have a lion's heart. And he was very, very discouraged. So the lion, when they would go to the wizard, they would ask the wizard, he would ask the wizard for more heart, for more courage. Well, while that's just a show or a play or whatever, we don't need the Wizard of Oz. We have the wonders of Almighty God. And he tells us that he can give us the courage that we need so we can be as bold as a lion. In fact, the key verse here that I want to turn you to, it's got to be one of the coolest verses ever on courage. And it's Proverbs 28:1. So cool that I have a family member that actually has this Bible verse with a big old lion tattooed on the entire shoulder, Proverbs 28:1. Go there if you have a copy of the scriptures, Proverbs 28:1. Cool passage, you're gonna love it, I think. This is what it says. The wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as what? Bold as a lion. Don't you love that? The righteous are as bold as a lion. Do you notice the contrast between the first part and the second part? The contrast between the wicked and the righteous. One is bold as a lion, that's the righteous one. And one flees even though no one pursues, that's the other one. You see, fear causes us to flee. Now, there's nothing wrong with fleeing if there's something to run from. But this is the kind of fear where no one pursues. Fleeing, although there is no pursuit of you. Just like courage is a mindset, fear and cowardice is a mindset. And even though no one pursues, your mind is creating a scenario that causes you to run. And truth be told, some of us are afraid of our own shadow. Some of us are anxious over things that we really should not be anxious over. Fearful over things that we should not be afraid of. Running when no one's even pursuing. Why would someone do that? Because their mind is so imaginative. That's why. Because when you let your mind get ahead of you, we become afraid of something or someone who's not even there. And we often fear what could happen in the future, what might happen, or what we imagine will happen. This is why I like that phrase, let's cross that bridge when we get there. Anybody like that phrase? I use that phrase, and I like that phrase because if you don't cross the bridge when you get there, then prior to that, you're making all kinds of imaginary stories in your mind. And you may not ever get to that bridge. In fact, in your mind, the bridge is out already. And so it's so important for us to understand that fear has a lot to do with what we believe is going to happen in the future. This phrase doesn't mean that I'm not supposed to think ahead. It doesn't mean that I shouldn't be prepared. But it also reminds us that there are a lot of hypothetical situations that will never come to pass and that we need to stop running from. We need to stop running from hypothetical situations that our minds create. This is why some people say the acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. Have you ever heard that before? False evidence appearing real. It's real in our mind, but it's not a reality in our life. But because it's been created in our brains, we begin to feel the pressure in our hearts right now. We begin to feel the anxiety in our bodies right now, not because of what is, but because of what could be. So instead of embracing fear, false evidence appearing real. What I want you to do is to embrace another four-letter word. bold. The B stands for brave. The O stands for obedient. The L stands for loyal. And the D stands for determined. That if I'm going to be courageous, I want to be brave, obedient, loyal to God, and determined. Now, my message was each one of those. And then I realized I got so excited about all the writing, I think I have a message on each one of those that we're not going to do all today. But let's see where we go. At least let's get through the first one, brave. What does it mean to be brave? Being brave means that you're facing your fears and not allowing them to get the best of you. We say as believers, we don't just face our fears, which you should, but we faith our fears. If I'm faithing my fear, then that means I'm going to step into whatever is in front of me, even though I don't know what's going to happen. But I know that God is with me. I know that God went ahead of me. I don't worry about tomorrow because I know God's already there. And so being brave means I'm going to trust that God has everything under control. In fact, he actually commands us in the Bible not to fear. Guess what the most repeated command in all of Scripture is? Fear not. Do not be afraid. It's amazing when you think about it. It's the most repeated command in all of the Bible. Guess how many times it's mentioned? 365 times. Clue, the clue phone is ringing and I think it's for you. Once for every day. Do not fear, do not fear, do not fear, do not be afraid, do not fear, do not be afraid. And check this out. Almost every time, guess what comes behind it? Because I am with you. That's why. Do not be afraid, because I am with you. In other words, don't fear, because I'm here. And that's amazing when you think about it. Out of all the commands that God could completely, continually offer over and over and over again repeatedly, do not fear. Fear not. Fear not. Once a day, maybe you ought to quote that verse to yourself. I wonder the why so much, God. Why so much? Then I get to the New Testament and it says, perfect love casts out all fear. And so when the perfect love of God is with us, then no matter what we come against, God is right there. I guess I could say that this sermon is on courage, but maybe I could say the sermon's on fear. Maybe it's like a two-sided coin, you know, heads and tails. The head side, courage. The tail side, do not fear. Same coin. So you can call it a message what you want. You can call it courage, you can call it fear. But I think at the end of the day, what I'm thinking in my brain is Psalm 23:1, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And then you get to the fourth verse of this little six-verse chapter, and it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Then it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That means that I can sit in front of my enemies and enjoy the table of God? Now that's bravery. God is with me. God will sit with me even in front of my enemies. Emmanuel, God is with us. Wow, I don't have to fear, God, because of your presence. You'll prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You'll prepare a table. That's God's provision, providing for me, even in front of my enemies. It says in verse 5, you will anoint my head with oil. Wow. When I'm going through that dark valley, when I'm starting to fear, he's present and he provides for me, but he also gives me his anointing and his covering, like the anointing oil. He anoints my head with oil. I've got the anointing and the covering of God. And then it says, my cup overflows. My goodness. That means I have his abundance as well. Hang on. Say what? You're telling me in the midst of my fear, I have your presence. In the midst of my fear, I have your provision. In the midst of my fear, I have your anointing. In the midst of my fear, I have your covering. In the midst of my fear, I have your abundance. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're telling me you're going to be with me and I have all of this when I have all of you? Wow. Hallelujah. I don't have to fear scarcity because I serve a God of abundance. I serve a God of the overflow. Does anybody need the overflow of God in their life to flow into their family, to flow into their health, to flow into their grandchildren, to flow into their finances? And then to cap it off, you get to the last verse. I mean, it says, surely. What? Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So I have all these things, the presence of God and the provision of God and the anointing of God and the covering of God and the abundance of God and the overflow of God. And you're going to now tell me, and also goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What? The protection of God? In other words, God's got my back. The God has got me covered. Oh my goodness. Telling me the goodness and the mercy of God. Like my daddy used to say when he preached, my, my, my. Whoa. You're telling me the protection of God? Yes. Proverbs 28:1, it says, the wicked flee even though no one pursues. Guess what? I don't have to run because the only ones that are chasing me are goodness and mercy. The only thing that's got my back is goodness and mercy. It doesn't mean that things aren't chasing me. It just means I got two bodyguards behind me to watch my back. It doesn't mean that nobody's gonna try to come through the back door, but we got some bodyguards right there watching my back so I can preach to you without having to worry about it. I can be bold because I know someone's got my back. You can walk into any situation because God's got your back. In order to get to you, they got to go through goodness. In order to get to you, they got to go through mercy. I'm glad that God's got my back. I'm glad that God's protecting me. No matter who's trying to get me from behind, he is my rear guard. He's my advance man. He protects me on the sides, above me and below me. Wherever you go, the Bible says, he is right there. Darkness is as light to him. Even the devil can't get to you unless he goes through God first. My, my, my. I feel like preaching. Who is in the dark valley right now? Who is in the dark season right now? God's telling me to tell you that he is with you, that he will be with you. God is telling me to tell you that you can count on these five promises of the Good Shepherd, that you can count on his presence. You can count on his provision. You can count on his anointing. You can count on his abundance, and you can count on his protection. Can you say it with me? You can count on his presence. You can count on his provision. You can count on his anointing. You can count on his abundance. You can count on his protection. I don't believe you. Stand to your feet. Please, stand to your feet. I don't believe you. Stand to your feet. Let me say it again. I need you to say it at OMR. I need you to say it like you actually believe it. Somebody needs courage to grow up in their spirit right now. It's going to be interactive. You ready? You can count on his presence. You know what? You need to tell somebody that. Don't tell me. Tell somebody around you. You may not even know them. Don't ask them for their name. Don't ask them for their number. Just tell them this. Tell somebody you can count on his presence. There you go. Now turn around, OMR. Turn around. Go to somebody else. You can leave your seat if you need to. Come on. This is an interactive sermon, okay? Tell them you can count on his provision. Come on. Go to somebody and tell them that right there. Somebody needs to hear it from somebody else. Look them in the eye and tell them you can count on his provision. You can count on his provision. Hang on. Hang on. Right there. Right there is where I need to stop. Right there is where I didn't plan to do this. I didn't plan to do this. Who needs cash? Come get it right now. Come get the cash. You can count on his provision. Come on. Come get this cash. Come on. Who needs cash? Come get the cash. This ain't for the church. This is for the body. Who needs it? Come get it. Come take it. He is your provision. You came in without it. You leave with it. That's right. Come get this cash. I don't want to see a dollar on this stage because God uses his body to bless the body. God uses his people to bring provision. God uses his children to help other children. This is what the church ought to be about. I feel like preaching. I feel like moving and saying hallelujah because God is good. God is good. Tell somebody he's your provision. You better go get that money. That's from God to you. That's so you can take your kids out to eat for lunch today. That's for you to go pay a bill today. This is God saying, I'm going to fill your gas tank. Come on, come on, come on, come on. There's somebody that needs this money. Don't leave it with me. I will go to Burger King. Don't leave it to me. I'll get an impossible burger serving an impossible God. You better come get this money. Take more, take more. You're going to know. You're not generous with yourself right now. I need you to take piles of it. I need you to take piles of it. I need you to. I need you to. Other people, there's $100. There you go. Get that $100 bill. There you go. Come on. Somebody need a 20. Somebody need a 50. I see 50s. I see 20s. Y'all not helping me out. Y'all not helping me out. I don't care whether you're staff. I don't care whether you're a partner. I don't care if you're a first-time attender. Come get this money. Come get this money. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Come get this money. Don't leave it for me. Lord knows I don't need another burger. Oh, we're not done with the interaction, I guess, right now, because it says you can count on his anointing. Can you tell somebody else that? Are y'all tired of talking to one another? Can you speak this into someone's life? You can count on his anointing. Your business will be anointed. Your contracts will be anointed. Your household will be anointed. Your bank account will be anointed. Your body will be anointed. Your ministry will be anointed. I don't know what I'm feeling in this sermon, but I feel anointed. I feel like everything I'm saying is coming from God to your heart. Hallelujah. Tell somebody else you can count on his abundance. You can count, tell somebody you can count on his abundance. If you already spoke to somebody, don't speak to them again. Go to somebody else and tell them, that's all right. Go to somebody else. At OMR, go to the other side. Tell somebody. Look them in the eye and speak the word of God. You can count on his abundance. Is all the money gone? Please tell me it is. Amen. Amen. There's no one there. Amen. Come on. Amen. It's gone. It's gone. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, last one. I need you to shake somebody's hand on this one. If you're fearful of getting sick, just tap them on the shoulder. That's all right. Give them a fist bump. But I need you to say this. You can count on his protection. Tell somebody. Give them a fist bump. Tell them. Goodness and mercy got your back. God is good. God is merciful. God's got your back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God a praise and then take your seat. I'm glad y'all are here. I can't redo this sermon. I can't redo it at 11. I can't. It must be something else God has for them, but this is just for you. This is God, it's just the fire in my belly, and I'm not even done yet because I'm about to tell you something you're not gonna like, but God told me to tell you. You're gonna have to walk through it. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, not around it, not above it, at least not this time. This time, I don't know who I'm talking to, but this time you're gonna have to walk through it. Have you ever had to go through something? I mean, you wish you could leapfrog over it, but you had to go through that sickness. You had to go through that situation. You had to go through that storm. Some of you have had to go through some sad, sorrowful, and sick situations, but I wanna encourage you today to let you know that God says he will be with you. He will be with you. This is where your courage must show up. This is where you must walk through it. God said that he would never leave you nor forsake you. OMR, you are not alone. Be brave. Be brave and face your fears. God is saying to you, you're gonna have to go through this one. Sometimes I'll allow you to sidestep it. Sometimes I'll protect you from it. But this one, you're gonna have to walk through. But I'm telling you, I will be with you, and those five promises will be with you. It's been spoken into your spirit. So whatever you're going through, you remember those five promises because God is going to be with you. So what is it that you're afraid of? What is it that you're afraid of? Somebody's receiving this word. You're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome. God sees you, God hears you. God is speaking into your spirit. Right now, just close your eyes with me. Would you be so kind? Visualize that fear right now. Now lift up your hands if you wanna do that for me and just release to God what it is that you're afraid of. Give it to God. Now take a deep breath and inhale God's presence. Inhale God's peace. Inhale God's provision. Thank you for meeting us today, God. Such a unique way, God. Such a different way, God. Thank you that we are tuned in, that we're clicked in, God. May the hallelujahs and the emojis be written today, God. May the prayers of your people be felt today, God. May they feel your encouragement, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. If we're gonna have courage, friends, we must be brave, obedient, loyal, determined. I'm not gonna move to obedient today. I'll do that next week as we talk about strength. How about we name it now, the strength to obey? How's that sound? That sounds like a pretty good sermon to me. I just got to go write it now. Amen. Let me give you a couple, how are we doing on time? Okay. Let me give you a couple practical applications as we end. You know, the Bible says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. And so the Bible also tells us that we can go to the throne of grace boldly and confidently. So how do I become more confident, more bold? Two practical applications. More practice, more prayer. Those two things right there. Practice righteousness and practice bold prayers. And that's going to help you become more confident, more bold. Practice in prayer. Practice righteousness so you can become better at whatever you practice. That's why some of us are so good at sin, huh? Keep practicing. But when we become better at righteousness, practicing righteousness, we then become more righteous. And remember, it says the righteous are as bold as a lion. So the more you practice righteousness, the more you will become more righteous. Pastor Jared used to play basketball, and he said his basketball coach used to say, you know, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. If you practice the wrong thing, then it's not going to be perfect. But perfect practice makes perfect. So there are spiritual practices that we need to integrate into our life that will help us become more righteous. Scripture reading and silent meditation and fasting, there's a lot of those things. But one of them is this one, and that's prayer. Prayers of declaration, prayers of intercession, prayers of proclamation. I was listening to a Nigerian bishop the other day, and he was doing a lesson on prayer. And one of the things he said was, faith is the currency that God collects. And one of the things about prayer is that we pray in faith. But a lot of times when I'm praying and preaching about prayer and talking about prayer, I say it's communication with God, it's talking to God, it's having God talk to you. But as I was explaining to the elders, we just went into a time of prayer because it was such an amazing revelation. And I guess I've seen it before. I guess it's been in the Bible, of course. But you know how this Bible is. It's living and it's active and it's always showing you new things. So this, I couldn't believe when I read this verse. I had just never, like, I had even had it underlined in my Bible, but I guess I just forgot it was there and I heard this guy preach it. And I looked at it and I'm like, whoa. It's Revelation 8:3. I'm going to close with this, but it's kind of like a drop the mic kind of moment, because when I read it and saw it, I'm like, wow, yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. You know, in chapter 7, it talks about how every nation, every tribe are going to be worshiping the Lord at the throne, right? And you get to chapter 8, and it talks about what that throne looks like. And let's pick it up in verse 2. Another angel who had a golden censer came. The golden censer is like the thing you hold incense in. And stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, listen, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hands. So God's taken all the prayers of the saints. That's you and me, all the Christians, all the people from the Old Testament, all the people from our generation, every prayer in this place. When you pray to God, God's taken all of it, and the angels take it and they mix it at the throne as an offering to God. That your prayers are an offering to God. That yes, it's communication with God, but God wants your prayers. God needs your prayers, because he takes your prayers and the angels take it and they mix it as an offering to God. The angels can't give God prayer like this. These are people with free will on the earth who are talking to God. And he takes all of those prayers and he mixes it as worship to Almighty God. Wow. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, and flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. God takes all those prayers, mixes it all up. The angels take it and mix it all up. And they offer your prayers and my prayers to God the Father as an offering. Somehow God takes it, it's all mixed up, then throws it back on the earth. Next time you see thunder and lightning, say, God just must be answering my prayer right now. Next time you see rain, God must be answering my prayer. He takes all the prayers of the saints and then he throws it back. And so maybe, just maybe, as we practice righteousness, we also practice bold prayers, because he says you can come to the throne of grace with boldness and confidence. And when you do that, God wants your prayers, because those prayers are not just your communication with God, it's actually an offering to God. Can we take a minute and just pray? And this may not be our normal practice. And OMR, this may not be our normal practice, but if you feel led to pray out loud, just pray with me. Otherwise, I'm just gonna pray, I'm gonna walk off, and then I'll turn the service over. But God, receive our prayers. Hallelujah. We worship you. We praise you. Come on, pray with me if you can. We give you glory. Just give God honor. We give you praise, God. We thank you that you want our prayers, God. You take our prayers, God, as an offering to you, oh God, that the angels may take it, Lord. People from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every dialect, God, we pray and we offer bold prayers, oh God, that you would take those prayers and that you would take that worship and you would take that thanksgiving and you would take our petitions. Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Know that it's being translated to God. Know that it's being mixed at the throne. We worship you, God, and we praise you. And we thank you for this word. We thank you for this payoff. We thank you for what's being released in our environment. And God, we trust you and we believe you. And we want to be courageous, not in our own strength, but because you told us, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you today, and we give you honor. And all of God's people all over the earth said, amen, amen, and amen, and amen. Give God a great big hand clap of